she won individual achievement in drama. Of course, the TCAs mix actors and actresses to where it's just the performance. It's not based on sex. And she beat her co-star, Matthew Rhys. And she also beat Elizabeth Moss. She beat Jodie Comer and Sandra Oh, Darren Criss for Versace. She beat a lot of really strong performances. So, you know, because at first I looked at this and I thought, well, Sandra Oh didn't win because of vote splitting and Killing Eve. But then vote splitting did not hurt the Americans because Matthew Rhys and Kerry Russell were going against each other. Anyway, I don't know that I'm bold enough to predict her over Elizabeth Moss, but I do think she's second place over Claire Foy at this point.
I kind of feel like right now Elizabeth Moss is the default choice, with probably Sandra Oh and Kerry Russell at the same level.
Okay. Yeah, Sandra Oh's... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, last year, Carrie Coon won Individual Achievement in Drama.
She did.
Yeah, and she didn't get nominated for Leftovers. She did get nominated for Fargo, right? I believe.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. I get what you're saying about the Americans, the love for it there. But I just don't know if it'll. I don't know. I still think Claire Foy is the second runner up, but I like the idea of, like, I get why you think Kerry Russell too.
I think just also. I mean, she's been nominated consistently for the last 3 years, so maybe, I don't know. I sort of feel like, I mean, it's just awards predicting. I mean, I sort of feel like maybe it's like, fine, I'll make a bold prediction. Sure, Kerry Russell's going to win there.
Wait, yeah. Wasn't nominated last year, though, right?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, I don't know.
She was nominated 2016, 17, and 18.
Oh, do they do it a couple times a year?
What?
I'm Joe, are you talking about the Emmys?
Oh, I'm talking about the Emmys. I'm not talking about the TCA.
Oh, I thought you meant the, yeah. No, yeah. I thought it was like TCA's. She wasn't nominated last year, but yeah, I know you. Yeah.
Last year was the weird year where you had
strange.
So many. Yeah. You had a lot of cast members from Big Little Lies getting nominated. And I think limited series performances took up most of the slots. In the drama race. Well, we'll see. I don't know, my gut tells me Elizabeth Moss isn't going to repeat, but I don't know who would win. So maybe I will inadvertently go back to Elizabeth Moss, unless it is Kerry Russell. I just don't, I think like the mood of the voting academy may be right to let her win, but I also don't know how many people actually watch the show.
That's true. Yeah.
Rachel Brosnahan won for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, solidifying her path straight up to Emmy victory, I suspect. Outstanding new program went to Killing Eve, which was a great choice. Versace won movies, miniseries, and specials, again solidifying its path straight to the Emmy there for limited series. The Americans won achievement in drama. The Good Place, not Emmy nominated for a comedy series, won outstanding achievement in comedy, beating Atlanta, which I thought was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
And the Americans won program of the year. So, you know, if you look at last year's TCA nominees or winners, they actually predicted quite a few Emmy trophies. But I'm wondering if that was a weird year? An off season? I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw someone tweet something about the... Let me see if I can find it. About the comedy race. That wouldn't it be interesting if it came down to, because I feel like a lot of people are going back and forth predicting either Mrs. Maisel or Atlanta winning comedy series.
Mm-hmm.
So like Brosnahan wins actress. Atlanta wins, say Atlanta wins actor, maybe Alex Borstein wins supporting actress, somebody wins supporting actor, and then one of them takes writing and the other takes directing. The one that would actually split it would be like the comedy series race. That's sort of exciting.
It's going to be fascinating, particularly there's a lot of people talking about that Teddy Perkins episode.
Yes.
Which I need to see still.
Well,
I'm wondering if, I don't know, I'm back and forth on whether or not, I can't see Mrs. Maisel winning, and I know we're not talking about the main categories yet, but just because you brought it up, I can't see Mrs. Maisel winning 3 performance Emmys. But I don't, I also can't see Tony Shalhoub losing.
They fucking love him.
Yeah, and he just won a Tony. He's big out there. You know, Kenan Thompson, Henry Winkler, Brian Tyree Henry, Titus Burgess, Louis Anderson. I don't see any of those winning, and I would hate to have Alec Baldwin win again just because they're name-checking him.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the categories, like even a lot of major categories, I know we're not talking about major categories right now, but I feel like you could make an actual case about a lot of people in a lot of these categories. Like, I feel like this, especially with the TCAs awarding different people, sort of solidifies this year as this has the potential to be sort of nuts.
Yeah, it does.
I love it.
It's unpredictable because the Very Emmys are often boring, but they're not boring this year.
No.
So we will go there. All right. Let's jump to the creative arts. So I'm going to just run through the categories that we've selected. We can't go through all of these because we don't literally have enough airtime to do all that. But the creative arts Emmys, I think, are the weekend before the primetime category. So that would be the 11th, 10th or 11th of September, somewhere around there, 9th or 10th. It's over 2 nights. Let's start with Variety Special Live, just because I think this is an easy category. It's enough to get us warm, get us wet. The nominees are the 75th Golden Globe Awards, the 60th Annual Grammy Awards, Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert, Night of Too Many Stars, America Unites for Autism Programs, and the Oscars. So who do you think's going to win?
Gee, I wonder. It's going to be Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, 3 award shows that literally at this point, I mean, I can't even tell you what was on the Grammys. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Night of Too Many Stars, you know, America Unites for Autism. Good on them.
The thing I can remember about that is that I think that Louis C.K. was asked not to come for that. Like, I think that's the one he was canceled from.
This just feels wrong. This Jesus Christ Superstar in this category feels wrong. Because I don't think a performance piece like that can compete against properly orchestrating and making an entertaining award show.
I think it's probably down to, like, I mean, if you had to, like, put them in there, probably down to the direction and the, like, the stage management of it.
Yeah.
Well, this is, like, the time. This is what, the first time that it was split into 2 different categories, Variety Special Live and Variety Special Pre-Recorded.
Where is that on this page? I can't seem to find
it. I have it right here.
Yeah, I found it. It's Carol Burnett.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's in the prime time. Sorry, that's why. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The Carol Burnett Show, 50th Anniversary Special, CBS.
That was
Carpool
really good.
Carpool Karaoke, Primetime Special, CBS. Dave Chappelle, Equanimity, Netflix. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee presents The Great American, Puerto Rico, It's Complicated, TBS. Steve Martin and Martin Short, An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life, Netflix.
So Carpool Karaoke has won that for the past 2 years.
Ah, oh, those fuckers.
But the Carol Burnett Show 50th Anniversary Special was phenomenal.
And I would think that would have to win.
I would think so too, but I'm just looking. Yeah. And I'm just looking. I mean, they did have a Tony Bennett special a couple of years ago that didn't win, but it's mostly been like Kennedy Center Honors or Louis C.K. or Sarah Silverman or Stephen Colbert, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Carol Burnett on that one.
That's what I would go with.
Yeah. I'd probably say that. I would say maybe Full Frontal.
Yeah.
Maybe after that, just because, you know, those types of specials that they do tend to, like, get a writing Emmy win.
Yeah.
I think Samantha Bee won for the not something something Correspondents' Dinner. They won writing for that. So I imagine that's what they're positioning the Puerto Rican special to sort of be like. So.
Yeah.
But I say Carol Burnett.
Excellent. I didn't want to cover the short form stuff, but I do want to say I hope I follow Megan Amram on Twitter. She's really, really funny if you guys don't follow her. And she has written a short special called An Emmy for Megan, which is solely made to win her an Emmy. Like, she's being completely out there about that. And she got nominated for 2 Emmys for this. So I kind of hope she wins.
Yeah, me too. I was following that a little bit.
Short form variety series, Game of Thrones was nominated, which is amazing.
Jonathan Penna.
Yes, I love that so much.
I love him.
Is this the first time it's ever been nominated? No, it was nominated.
So. No, it hasn't? Other. Okay. Oh. I'm a liar.
No, wait a minute. Yes, I think it might be. Okay. So moving back, we're going to skip the guest acting categories because Joey needs more time to prepare for that.
I just want to watch all of them.
Yeah, well, you need more time to do that. I'm not going to do that, so... More power to you. Let's look at the casting categories. These are weird. So let's start with comedy series. So we have Atlanta, Barry, Glow, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Silicon Valley. So I feel like you can strike out Silicon Valley because I don't think it was any better cast this year than it has been in previous years.
Yeah.
What won last year? Let me just look this up really quick.
I was just about to look that up.
Wasn't it Veep? Veep won this 3 years in a row. And then Orange is the New Black. I'm wondering if Glow doesn't have...
That's what I was thinking, because it's so extensive. It's got such a big cast.
Yeah, it's an ensemble
piece. I think it's either Glow or Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think... I don't know. I would go with the ensemble feel of Glow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over Mrs. Maisel. But, you know, Mrs. Maisel's sweep could pull that into it. Because Veep has swept for the past couple of years. So, although Veep is a ensemble comedy. So, but I'm going to go with
that. Well, it's also, yeah, I mean, it's, if you go back even to like the big, it's very female oriented, this category. Like Veep for the last 3 years, Orange is the New Black. Before that, 30 Rock, Girls, Glee, more of an ensemble like Modern Family. Before that, 30 Rock, Ugly Betty, Desperate Housewives, Sex and the City, Ally McBeal.
All right, let's move on to the drama casting. The nominees are The Crown, Game of Thrones, Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, Westworld. Stranger Things won this last year.
Really?
But I think that was... I feel like that was casting those kids, because those kids were really well cast.
That's true.
And then Game of Thrones won it for the 2 years before that, and then preceded by True Detective.
I feel like this has the potential to be, like, kind of exciting, but also, like, kind of disappointing and boring at the same time.
I'm going to say Handmaid's Tale.
Why? Just want to know, what's your reasoning? Or just guessing?
Well, I feel like, all right, so with The Crown, I feel like people, and this is going to be the casting directors, but I feel like people did not like the casting of Jackie and Jack Kennedy in that episode, one of those main episodes that's been Emmy nominated. So I feel like people are going to, they're not going to vote for casting on The Crown because of that. Some people really liked Minka Kelly and Dexter.
Michael C. Hall.
Some people really liked him, a lot of people didn't. So I'm wondering if they're going to hold that against it. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad argument. Game of Thrones could win. Is it any better cast this year than it was previous years? Stranger Things, I mean, it only had like a few new characters this year. And so
the one was horrible. I was thinking of the girl.
Oh, the red. And then there's Westworld. Maybe Westworld.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, not saying that the girl in Stranger Things was a horrible actress. It was just like the way they. It was just like, let's make her and her brother these like jerks that show up.
Oh, yeah. They were annoying. Oh, I
forgot about that.
I feel like everything always comes back to that fucking episode for me.
Which one?
The scene where Eleven goes off by herself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that, too. I was thinking of the guy and the girl and her brother who show up to show up in town, and he's, like, real angry and lifts
people. Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's being abused by his father.
Yes.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know.
I think Handmaid's Tale because of – I think you're right, and I think it's because the addition of Eden – she was a good, you know, they threw her in and I was kind of like, oh, great. Who's this bitch? You know, and she becomes a very important character. And I think she's such a good actress, too. She's on Sharp Objects. She was in Everything Sucks.
She's great.
It's like the year of that actress. Her name is escaping me right now. But I really like her. Hold on. I'll look her up.
Yeah, I think I probably had to go with Handmaid's Tale.
Sydney Sweeney, the actress's name. She's great.
She's so good. She's good at everything.
Well, don't forget we had the expansion of Emily's backstory, which brought in John Carroll Lynch as the boss that gets hung or hanged.
Right.
Doesn't it also show
Clay Duvall,
the, you know, it's like, we need a lesbian. Terry Jones.
Bradley Marissa Whitford. Tomei.
Yeah. It's Clay. Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah,
what'd you say?
It's gonna be Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to casting for a limited series, movie, or special, which I don't know why they're calling it movie because nobody ever gets awarded for casting a TV movie. So limited series or special, we've got Versace, Godless, Jesus Christ Superstar, The Looming Tower, Patrick Melrose.
I really wonder if Jesus Christ Superstar is gonna win here too.
Me too. Well, I mean, like, a musical has been nominated in this category before. Like, Grease Live was nominated. That might be the only one. Yeah, it was Grease Live was the only one that was nominated since this happened. But, like, they have those stars. They're like, ah!
Yeah, and they also showed up, like, the fact that John Legend showed up in, like, a lead actor category. And, I don't know. I just wonder... I think this competition is probably Versace is what I would think it'd be its main competition.
You'd be surprised that shows directed by Ryan Murphy don't always win this. Like,
no,
I mean,
just like O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson, like American Horror Story 1, 2, 3. Like it was American Horror Story never won. One, it was nominated for the first 4 years. Feud was nominated last year. The Normal Heart was a TV movie that was nominated with this like insane sprawling cast, and it didn't win. So I don't know. Maybe I sort of would give American Crime Story the edge just because they seem to like awarding limited series of like, oh, famous people, yes, movie stars. But I would not be surprised. Like that prediction of Jesus Christ Superstar is actually like, that's a good prediction because of the haul that that show got.
Yeah.
Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
Nominated as an actress.
And I also think like,
that's no discredit to her at all. I'm just like, oh, wow.
I think people were more excited about that. Like audience reception. People were more excited about Jesus Christ Superstar than they were Gianni Bertacci's story.
Well,
I mean, they're completely different things, but like, I mean, just
they're
like
different. One's about Jesus and one's about a homosexual.
But I mean, but like, they felt like, I felt like people were talking about it a lot on Twitter. I feel like not like American Crime Story wasn't as talked about on Twitter or anything like Jesus Christ Superstar was.
It pleased somebody in the Television Academy because it got like 18 nominations. So
American Crime Story?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering if we're underestimating Jesus Christ Superstar.
I think absolutely it is in the running for this. You know, and I've never talked to a casting director about this, so I don't know how they vote on these things. I do feel like you're looking at a sprawling miniseries which has cast brilliantly several roles like Judith Light, Penelope Cruz,
yes.
Edgar Ramirez is in there, Darren Criss, putting, you know, Finn Wittrock and Cody Fearn, just it's tons of really strong actors in really strong roles. And if you look at Jesus Christ Superstar, it's really the three main actors and Alice Cooper, who was terribly cast in that role.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
I was thinking of Brandon, what's his name? Dixon.
Brandon Victor Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he seemed to be such a, like beacon.
A find.
Yeah. And that's what I keep thinking of is the fact that, like, everybody was talking about this guy. And, like, where has he been, you know, kind of like, that's what I was thinking of. I mean, if I had to, like, pick today, I'd pick American Crime Story. But it's just, I think that's the dark horse.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it absolutely could spoil. I think maybe The Looming Tower has, just because of the sheer volume of actors in that. I think that has
opportunity to win. It's just white dudes in suits.
You've got to make them look separate.
They all have brown hair.
Yeah. Anyway, I think between those two, but my vote would go for, or my prediction would be Versace.
Yeah, mine too.
Versace. All right. I'm going to skip over casting for a reality program because I have no idea.
Drag Race.
Unless you guys want Drag Race, Queer Eye.
Drag Race.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be Queer Eye.
Oh, Queer Eye is going to win, yeah.
Can you believe? Oh, no, Jonathan Van Ness. Fans in the house. Wow.
Well, I mean, I like him on Game of Thrones, but I never watched Queer Eye, so I have no idea. I tried to listen to his podcast, but I couldn't. Okay, cinematography. So this one gets tricky because it's half hour, an hour, and limited series, and multi-camera. So outstanding cinematography for a multi-camera series. We have three nominees here. The Ranch, Superior Donuts, and Will and Grace.
I'm gonna say Will and Grace.
The Ranch won last year.
God damn it.
Also up against Superior Donuts and Two Broke Girls.
I thought you were gonna say Superior Television.
Did Will and Grace ever win this? How I Met Your Mother won a lot. 2.5 Men won a lot. Will and Grace won a couple of times in its original run. I'm going to say Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Single camera series, half hour, Atlanta. This is the Teddy Perkins episode. Barry, Chapter 8, Know Your Truth, which I think is the finale. The End of the Effing World, Episode 3 on Netflix.
God.
Glow, The Pilot, Insecure, Hella LA, Mozart in the Jungle, episode Ichigo Ichii.
It's Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm thinking Teddy Perkins.
Sure.
Because I don't remember the cinematography of the pilot of Glow being all that great, to be honest. In fact, I think that was one of the things we maybe commented on, is it kind of looked washed out a little bit.
I think we also, hold on, let me look. I have a sort of, oh God, I can't believe the end of the fucking world's in there. I don't know. I feel like I would love to see something like Insecure win, just because, you know, makes me want to like move to LA.
Yeah.
But I mean, probably Atlanta. I think it's Atlanta. It made me also, when you ran up those people, I was just like, Mozart in the Jungle still on? I forgot.
I think it just did its last season.
Yeah.
Which one was the episode of Hella LA? Which one was that?
Is that the one she got cheesed on? Hold on.
Oh, no. This is the one where they go to be.
Oh, yeah.
The diner.
Yeah.
It's when she starts messing around with the guy.
And that's the one. There's a good amount of Lawrence in that episode too, I think.
Oh, it's when he gets pulled over.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, the show was so underrated.
Oh, that's when they went to the party. Was it the dating thing? Or is it just the party that Molly bought the special table for?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same one?
I think Issa tried to
meet up with some guy there and he blew her off.
Yeah, they go to the kiss and grind party.
Yeah.
And that's where she meets up with. Oh God, Issa meets up with what is his name? Daniel.
No, not Daniel. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the first time she's seen him since the previous season.
I feel like the non-Atlanta episodes are really well filmed sitcoms, and the Atlanta episode is an art form.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Atlanta. Joey, did you say Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay. Cinematography or a limited series or movie. This is actually a really hard category. It's much harder than I thought it would be. It's The Alienist, the episode Boy on the Bridge, Black Mirror, USS Callister, Fahrenheit 451, Genius Picasso, the first chapter, Godless, an incident at Creed, and Twin Peaks, episode 8, which is in black and white. It's the really weird one.
oh, the really weird one. Oh, okay.
That's my instinct is to say Godless.
Because of the Western cinematography.
Yeah.
My instinct is to say The Alienist, because that pilot is fucking gorgeous.
Is The Boy on the Bridge the pilot?
The Boy on the Bridge is the pilot. It's the one where, like, I actually remember when I watched if you watch the opening sequence, you'll be like, oh, wow, this is beautifully shot. The way that, like, it looks like almost like you're watching a black and white movie. I think it's The Alienist.
If that's the pilot, yeah, that's it. That's the pilot. It's either that or Twin Peaks, I think.
Every time we say Twin Peaks, I think of that Simpsons episode where Homer has the dream.
Oh, yeah.
Burns his suit.
I just don't know. I don't know. This is where something I love interferes with my logic. Like, my heart overrules my head. But I think I probably will go with The Alienist just because it looks so gorgeous. And I'm just wondering, I think sheer beauty of that overcomes the black and white quality.
There's something about the whole thing with The Alienist, where a lot of it is, it's in the production design and the costume design too, where it's like, and this is just somebody who loves the show, sorry, broken record, but it's like, it's beautifully done, but the subject is so ugly and grisly. And I think that juxtaposition is mm-hmm. one of the best things about the show throughout a lot of the creativity of the show.
The winner of this category last year was The Night Of.
Damn. And that's kind of a similar look.
Yeah, agreed.
It's at least a police procedural kind of.
The only reason why I say Godless, and I'm still working on watching that one, is that I think that people will just name check it.
Netflix, check.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, Western, like, Jeff Daniels.
I still need to watch that show, but I'll vote for it.
All right, moving on. Let's see. Outstanding cinematography for a single camera series, 1 hour. So we have The Crown, the Barrel episode, which I love. If you haven't watched it, please go watch it. Handmaid's Tale, June. Legion, episode chapter 8. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the pilot. Ozark, The Toll. Stranger Things, the first episode of the second season. And Westworld, The Riddle of the Sphinx.
I feel like you named 12 shows.
It's a big category. Yep. And Colm Wilkinson, I think, won last year, the cinematographer.
Colin Wilkinson.
Colm Wilkinson is a singer, actor.
I was like, wasn't he in the Chicago movie?
Colin Wilkinson, yeah, he won last year. There were a lot of nominees in this category last year, too. There were seven last year.
I just rewatched the Barrel episode of The Crown today, and if they do something with, like, I don't know who votes, I should know this, but I don't. The way that they use light in the scene where Margaret goes to get her photograph taken, mm-hmm. and it's like a lot of shadow, and she's like constantly smoking, and I don't know. I think it's a gorgeous sequence. So I could see that maybe winning, but I say the safe bet is The Handmaid's Tale just because of how a lot of the shots are just structured.
The Barrel episode of The Crown was responsible for quite a few Emmy nominations. So
yeah,
they're definitely keyed into it. They're definitely appreciate it. And it's that episode blew me away, completely blew me away. I'm going to go with that one. I'm just going to stick with my gut.
You're saying The Crown?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Handmaid's Tale just because I feel like a lot of, I mean, I know nothing about cinematography, so I always respond to like, oh, that looks really pretty. So I feel like they do a lot of stuff where like stuff is perfectly symmetrical and stuff is like overhead shots of stuff. So I feel like that.
And June was also the episode with the Fenway Park, right?
Right. Yeah. Hmm. I'm sticking with it.
I'm going to go with June. Yeah, I'm going to stick with it. Even though I still need to see The Crown, so.
Let's get it.
Okay. Moving on to costumes. We have outstanding period costumes. The Alienist, the episode of Fruitful Partnership, The Crown, Dear Mrs. Kennedy, Genius Picasso, episode 1, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The Disappointment of the Dion Quintuplets, and Outlander, Freedom and Whiskey.
Well, the Marvelous Crown Mrs. Maisel
has to win something.
What?
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel has to win something. I'm going to go with that one.
I was wondering about that, too, even though I was looking up stuff about this earlier today, and it seems like I thought maybe Betty Davis and Joan, that would win last year, but The Crown won. And then I was looking at like kind of like just themes through it, and I'm wondering if they wouldn't go with something like that. I don't know. I'm like going back and forth on it. Maybe it was a different hour category I was looking at. So you're going with Mrs. Maisel?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mrs. Maisel, but The Crown won last year for the episode where she got married.
Yeah, so they and had, that's what I was yeah. one. And Game of Thrones won the year before.
I think we all picked Feud to win because it was the Oscar episode. And we were like, oh, they recreated all those beautiful gowns. So, right. I don't know.
The Handmaid's Tale wasn't nominated this year. And Westworld wasn't nominated this year.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with The Alienist.
I think I'm going to go with Mrs. I'm probably going to go right now. I'm going to say Mrs. Maisel because I can't imagine that Mrs. Maisel is going to like, it's a period show. So
I wondered about that too, but I'm thinking that they'll go with something like more extravagant, like, and what Mrs. Maisel is not, I mean, it's beautiful fashion and beautiful costumes, but I feel like they're going to go for something a little more complicated.
The only reason why I don't say The Alienist is because The Alienist costumes are not flashy. Like, yeah. the costumes, like, Dakota Fanning's costumes, especially with, like, the really poofed up sleeves, like, it's all really subdued colors. Like, yeah. When I talked to the costume designer, Michael Kaplan, you can check the interview at awardsdaily.com. I noted about, plug. Like, the color, like, the color feels, like, drained out of a lot of it. So I feel like it's, like, Mrs. Maisel's costumes, the costumes are really flashy. Or I was thinking about The Crown just because, isn't that the Jackie O episode?
Yeah.
And Jackie O is a fashion icon, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Mrs. Maisel.
I'm split between The Crown and Mrs. Maisel. I'm still going to go with Mrs. Maisel because I think it has to win somewhere here. And this is as good as any. I mean, because, you know, all of those stills, you see Rachel Brosnahan in those fantastic 50s costumes. And they have all those scenes of people in the comedy clubs dressed in period.
I'm wondering with it, too. I think I've changed my mind.
Well, don't let me talk you out of it. And I also do think, like, just one quick, sorry. What?
There's the episode, The Disappointment of the Dion Quintuplets. I think that's the episode where they introduce Tony Shalhoub's character getting the job that he wants. So you get to see, like, when he's teaching all the men, a lot of the men are in, like, the really smart, like, not tweed jackets, but, you know, the heavy coat. So there's a lot of men and women in that episode, I think.
The last thing I'll say about this is it's not going to change my vote, but, you know, just because The Alienist isn't flashy, maybe they're appreciating that's thematic, that's on purpose, and they're appreciating that they're trying to tie the tone of the piece into the costumes.
Yeah, like, I mean, it wouldn't be appropriate for the costumes of The Alienist to be like that because of...
Right.
Like Dakota Fanning's costumes, like she wouldn't want to draw attention to herself anyway because she's a woman working in a man's world. So, I mean, like, she doesn't want to draw attention to herself. So and I wouldn't be surprised if it won because the costumes are fucking gorgeous in that thing. But
yeah,
I just think they would go with something that's a little flashy.
And the thing that's kind of pushing me over the edge is that Maisel's costumes are, like, iconic for the like. It's kind of you're drawn in by, not that you're not drawn in by the costumes of The Alienist, and they're not iconic, but it's like the images are everywhere of marvelous Mrs. Maisel and her costumes.
I'm still going with Mrs. Maisel, but I do think The Crown is a strong runner up.
Yeah.
Because of the sheer numbers of people that have to be clothed for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it looks like this year they split costumes between period. Mm-hmm. Which is purposely something that happens in the past between outstanding fantasy and sci-fi. So The Handmaid's Tale has classified or as fantasy here. But the nominees are Fahrenheit 451, Game of Thrones, Handmaid's Tale, Series of Unfortunate Events, and Westworld.
So the episode with Handmaid's Tale is Seed. So it's the episode where Nick marries Eden. So you get to see, just for a different type of costume, because the show is pretty iconic with, you know, the red outfits and the blue outfits. These ones have like those, the really creepy wedding sequence with the girls and all in white with the creepy veils on their head. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I kind of want to randomly throw out there that
unfortunate events.
I think it might, I'm going to go with unfortunate events.
Yeah, I was too. Just because it's the old Tom O'Neill saying, the apple in the bag of oranges or the orange in the bag of apples. It's so different than anything else. Like everything else tries to have these are fantasy sci-fi costumes, but they all have a toe in reality, maybe with the notable exception of Game of Thrones. But A Series of Unfortunate Events just has these, it's stylized. The whole thing is stylized. The performances are stylized. The costumes are fantastic. So.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm looking at pictures of that episode right now. I mean, you have Lucy Punch in a blue motorcycle outfit with a big old helmet, and Neil Patrick Harris in like a blue leather coat, looking like ugly and gross as ever. But I also am really tempted just to say Game of Thrones, just because it's a fantasy piece. It's one before. I don't know.
I'm going with Game of Thrones.
Michelle Clapton has won the last 2 years. She won for The Crown, and then she won again for Game of Thrones. And she was nominated for Game of Thrones the previous year. Actually, I'm changing my mind. It's Game of Thrones.
I'm trying to see which Beyond the Wall is the one where they... Well...
It's going to be like, the winner is Westworld. We're all like, what? Huh?
I'm staying with the series Unfortunate Events. Okay. Contemporary costumes. Versace, Blackish, Empire, Grace and Frankie, This Is Us. I literally don't see how Versace loses this.
Yeah, like, I was thinking that too.
The whole show is about fashion.
What?
Yeah. I said the show is about fashion.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much a done deal. And Lou Eirich, Irish. She's like a Ryan Murphy like staple. So
right.